passages in Scripture. Let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, this is a phenomenal passage. I just pray that you give me the grace and the words to be able to communicate the richness, the meaning of it, and help your word to keep getting into our hearts and building up our faith and growing us, maturing us, Lord God, so that we could be your ambassadors and that we could take this wonderful, amazing grace to a dying world. Help us to be your witnesses, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is Pentecost Sunday. In the Christian year and the calendar year, and what that means is Pentecost actually was a Jewish festival, and you can even kind of tell from the first part, P-E-N-T, Pent, usually stands for five, and what it is 50 days, celebrating 50 days after Pentecost. Pentecost is celebrating the 50th day after the Passover Sunday. Okay, does that make sense? All right. So this had been celebrated for centuries. Well, the Christian significance is there during Pentecost, when the disciples had gathered, Jesus had told them right before he had ascended, wait in Jerusalem for the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And while they were together, gathered together, at the time of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit then came down upon the believers. And you can read about it in Acts chapter 2. It was pretty astounding. What happened is it seemed like these tongues of fire came down, separated, and were over the heads of each person. And they started just to worship God and witness to him. They spilled out onto the streets. You can just imagine in Jerusalem all these believers just coming, pouring out of this house where they were meeting. And here comes God. He's answering. He's giving the special effects right now. Thank you. So today we're not going to have that sunshine coming down and giving that glorious effect. It's just going to be the Holy Spirit pouring down upon us. That's okay. Pentecost, all right? So, and as they spilled out onto the street, they encountered all kinds of visitors to Jerusalem for the festival, coming from a vast number of regions, Jews who lived abroad, but also Jewish converts, but from, and I think there were like 15 different areas and regions and countries named among the list alone, and all of them, coming from all these different languages and cultures, were hearing in their own language this witness of the disciples. And so the disciples were just witnessing, speaking, but a huge number of people, they're all hearing it in their own native tongue. It was the first really example of somebody speaking in tongues in the New Testament. And that kind of manifestation of speaking in tongues, there's a couple different kinds. I'll explain. There's the speaking in tongues, which is an unknown language, a heavenly language, that really it's not a language known by human beings, and so it's more the language of angels, and sometimes that's speaking in tongues. But in this case, it was speaking in tongues where people could understand. Again, somebody from a whole different country, and I've heard of examples of this, especially among missionaries, even modern day, where two people are having a conversation, and they're having a great conversation, and then all of a sudden the conversation stops and now they can't understand each other, and this person was witnessing to the other person, and yet all of a sudden come to find out that he didn't speak English, and what he was speaking to this guy wasn't English, but during that time where the Holy Spirit was manifesting itself, they understood each other perfectly. So anyway, it was basically Pentecost is when we celebrate this wonderful experience for the church when the Holy Spirit was poured out and came down upon the church. All right? So then you have the Pentecostal movement. That's a whole different thing, and it's become a denomination, and their emphasis really is then on this Pentecostal experience, the filling of the Holy Spirit, which I'm all for. I'm all for the Holy Spirit being in us, filling us. Where I would beg to differ, and a lot of other Christian traditions would beg to differ, is in a lot of the Pentecostal churches, they would say the universal sign of the filling of the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit inside of you, is that you will speak in tongues. And some have gone as far as to say, and if you cannot speak in tongues, it means the Holy Spirit is not inside you, therefore you are not saved. I'm sorry, that is not biblical and that is wrong. And if anybody wants to talk to me afterward, I can show you biblically and defend that. So, okay, it's Pentecost Sunday. So I was thinking, well, maybe I should veer away from this sermon series on Ephesians and just, you know, teach about Pentecost. But then right here, as we were continuing through chapter 3, the last half of chapter 3, verse 16 jumped out at me, and that is a Pentecostal prayer. Wow, that totally fits. Thank you, God. And he just says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Is that a Pentecostal prayer or what? And so, and here, then he goes on to say, okay, what's going to happen? I mean, if we have the Holy Spirit powerfully coming upon us, you know, that sounds kind of freaky maybe to some people. And what's going to happen? You know, what's the Holy Spirit going to do? Am I going to start speaking in tongues? And, you know, it's going to be bizarre. And, you know, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us will differ from one believer to another. And so the gifts of the Holy Spirit are varied, and even as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:11, it's just as God determines. So it's not that I would determine, well, I would like, it's not like a shopping list. God, from that list, I think I'd like, yeah, speak in tongues, not interpret tongues, gift of healing. Oh, I really like that one. Yeah. And wisdom. No, God is going to determine which gifts. The cool thing is, this is a message for the whole body of Christ. So it's not a personal, so much a personal thing. You shall receive. It's as a church, the manifestation of the gifts would come. Now, what I like in this passage too is, as he goes on from verse 16, he goes on to verse 17 and says, so that, in other words, the result being, what's going to be the result of the Spirit coming powerfully upon us, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This is the result. Christ in us, the Spirit of Christ in us. And then, Paul starts talking about this powerful, amazing, unmeasurable love. You can't even begin to understand, he says, how wide and long and high and deep this love is. This love that surpasses knowledge. It's this phenomenal love. And it's that love that will be manifested in us. So I've always said, you know, people talk about, you know, these powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit and evidence of the Spirit in somebody's life. I've always said, and I truly believe, that the greater importance should be placed upon the fruit of the Spirit in us. And what's the difference between the gift of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit? The gifts of the Spirit can be, as I said, you know, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, healing, the gift of healing, the gift of doing miracles, the gift of prophecy, which really is a gift for preaching in many ways, the gift of all these gifts. The fruit of the Spirit is Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I've oftentimes said, you probably heard me say it, wouldn't it be wonderful to have that established in your home and in your hearts? Could you imagine a marriage that's filled with love and joy and peace, and they're patient with one another, and there's a kindness there? And not just the marriage, with the kids too. A patience, a kindness, a goodness, a faithfulness. Faithfulness in that home, in that marriage. Gentleness. Self-control. Wouldn't that be just the most phenomenal home? Wouldn't it just be a wonderful marriage? Could you imagine being a child growing up in a home like that? Would that be the most blessed, awesome childhood ever? Yeah. And so, you know, I want to just, as, you know, when you first see verse 16, and he talks about this powerful, out of his glorious riches, he's going to strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. And, oh, you know, you might start thinking of Samson. Oh, yeah, when the spirit came upon him, oh, man, this guy could literally tear the jaws off of a lion, and he could lift up a whole city gate and just carry it on his back. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about then this powerful love being infused in us. A love that is just beyond understanding. Let me explain a little bit more, too, about some of the theology behind just this filling of the Holy Spirit, okay? Because, again, it's like a Pentecostal prayer. In other words, Paul really is praying for this powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. And this can happen individually. It can happen in a congregation, in a group of people. Now, sometimes what can happen is when we first believe in Christ, when we first receive Christ, we therefore receive His Holy Spirit. Okay? So that is how the Holy Spirit first gets into us. All right? And that can be a powerful experience. It can be just an experience that is a conscious decision and a heartfelt, sincere decision, and nothing really miraculous or all that powerful happens. There's maybe even just a quiet sense that the Spirit is in me. And so that's how the Spirit comes into us. But we can then have an intensification of the Spirit, a magnification of the Spirit inside of us. Or even the influence of the Holy Spirit might grow inside of us. And that can happen in an instant. And we even read in the biblical passages that all of a sudden, you know, Peter and John are standing before the Sanhedrin. And it says, Peter then, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaks boldly to him. And all of a sudden, in that moment, there was an intensification of the Holy Spirit inside of him, enabling him, empowering him to speak boldly before these men who had just killed Jesus just weeks before, and who were threatening to do the same to him, and he just boldly spoke to them. There were other times, too, where there was an intensification. It talked about Paul and his ministry. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, it was so powerful within him, and it was so intensified, as he was literally walking by just where his shadow would pass upon a sick person, that person was made well. That's just intense, right? Okay. Other times it seems like then that intensity is diminished. And you might just kind of go along with your life. Could be weeks, could be months, could be years. And then, boom, another experience happens. Now, here's also, though, what I have seen and what I think is biblical. That we can begin to build up and increase the intensity of the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and especially through our devotional practices. So in other words, the more we get into God's Word, the more we're reading God's Word, either individually as I read it personally, and then especially as I'm reading it personally, and then getting into Bible studies and getting into study groups, as I'm reading God's Word, as I'm learning more and more how to pray, and as I'm engaging with God's Spirit more and more in prayer, intercessory prayer, praising God, coming to Him in confession, and coming to Him in thanksgiving, the different ways of praying, as I worship more with God, and as I spend more time in worship, as I spend more time in fellowship, in Christian fellowship with other believers, the Holy Spirit and His, really, it's not so much the Holy Spirit growing in me, it's His influence is becoming more powerful in me. Because what is happening is, as that influence starts to happen, as I am surrendering more and more to the Holy Spirit, if you want more of the Holy Spirit in your lives, the best and simplest recommendation I can give to you is surrender more and more to God and to His will. Well, how do I know His will? That's why we read the Bible. And the more I read the Bible with the intention of understanding what His will, and therefore with the intention of walking in His will, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit's influence over me and in my life will expand, will increase. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit is going to start using me and channeling through me, and that influence is spilling into the lives of my family, of my church, of the people I work with, the people I encounter, you know, walking along the street. So it's getting more of God's influence through me and expanding that influence. Now, what can happen too is that influence of the Holy Spirit can diminish, can be reduced, can be quelled. And so it speaks in the Bible also of, you know, do not grieve the Holy Spirit and quench not the Holy Spirit. How can we quench the Holy Spirit in us? You know, the Holy Spirit is like a fire, and so it came down as tongues of fire upon the early believers, and so oftentimes the Holy Spirit is symbolized as a fire. You can literally douse that fire. How? Sin. It's when we give in to sin, when we surrender to sin. And that doesn't have to be an ultimate, oh, you're gone, that's it. No. And it's a common experience. Doggone it, we're still stuck in these sinful bodies. I mean, you know, and despite the fact the Holy Spirit is inside of me, the fact that I'm still in this jar of clay, as Paul put it, still in this fragile form, I'll get pulled into sin, and that quenches the Holy Spirit. What do I need to do? Confess it and repent of it. Get away from it. Stop doing it. And then as I come before God, God, I blew it again. Please forgive me. Please. And I love that prayer out of Psalm 51. Restore in me the joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit within me. As I pray that prayer, God will do it. And boom, all of a sudden that spirit is fanned into flame once again. And so maybe there's people out here who've never even had an experience of being really filled powerfully with the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's some of you who have. Oh, man. And I've heard from people who have been longtime church members. They can recount, oh, and there was a time we had this evangelism program, and oh, my gosh. And I tell you, it was powerful. When we went on that missions trip and I had this experience, oh, my gosh, the Holy Spirit was there. And it was so cool. And now? That was years ago. Yeah, and so there's been a diminishing of the Holy Spirit. We need to take Paul's advice to Timothy when he said, fan into flame the Spirit inside of you. Fan it into flame. All right? And so if you're a person who, you've been a Christian a long, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, I've experienced that. Oh, man, it's powerful. Today, it ain't there like that. It's just more like a flicker. Right, fan into flame the Spirit of God inside of you. Well, how do I do that? This is why, I might be stuck on stupid. I just keep coming back to it. I taught that whole sermon series months back on thriving, the spiritual disciplines. It's get back into the Word. How have your devotional practices been lately? I mean, if you've just got a flicker going on, are you reading your Bible? Personally, devotionally? How's your devotional time? I mean, is it just kind of a chicken soup for this whole 5 minutes and I'm out of here? Or are you really spending some time digging deep and praying through the Scriptures, really praying it through? How's your prayer life? Does it need to be intensified? And as we ramp up, as we crank up the dial in our prayer life, trust me, the Holy Spirit is going to just fan into flame. You know, more fellowship, more service. You know, I talked in that sermon series about the importance of serving others, outreach, missions. And sometimes, I tell you, you want an experience, a powerful experience with the Holy Spirit, jump in on a missions trip. Or just, you don't even have to go to Mexico with us in September, although I want to invite you to do that. But, you know, right over here at Youth Hope, or with Christian Cares, get involved. So many times people, and I've heard it, 1,000 times, where on that missions trip, or in the soup kitchen, or working with the homeless, boom, the Holy Spirit showed up, and it was a powerful experience. And so, fan into flame that Spirit that is within you. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if He is your Savior and Lord, if you have surrendered your life to Him, you've got the Holy Spirit, okay? And maybe it's just like a simple light bulb. But I tell you what, it can become a Klieg light. You know those Klieg lights that they shine up into the sky, you know, when there's some major event? Yeah, it can just be a much more powerful experience. Klein Snodgrass was reading his commentary on this, and he was commenting on this when Paul says, you know, he's praying that we would have the power to grasp this, what is like this incomprehensible love. And he says this, he says, surely this is the real problem behind the failure of Christians to understand and live their faith. The problem is theological. Our image of God, the idol in our minds, does not merit contemplation, devotion, or obedience. Our God is too remote, too disinterested, and too inept. In fact, he is too much like us. We neither expect anything from him, unless it's a handout, nor are we engaged with him. So Klein is pointing out that Paul is praying that we might grasp this awesome, the knowledge of this awesome God. But far too often it's because we have this itty-bitty image of God, this little idol almost in our minds that's a little too much like us. He's so paltry and weak and little in our minds. Does that merit our worship, our devotion, our contemplation? No. Oh, if we could just have this expanded understanding and knowledge of this immense, amazing, awesome God. So that might be the challenge for some of us this morning too. And I wanted to comment on point six out of the sermon notes, affirming God's awesome power, that God is able. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. And I point out that he is able but not obliged. In other words, we don't dictate to God. Oh, he is able. And I love, and I printed that verse in your sermon notes. That is a wonderful verse worthy of memorizing. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, is that awesome? Could you imagine that in all times, in all things, having all that you need, that you could abound? I mean, your life, your impact, the impact of your life could be massive. Oh yeah, God is able to make all grace abound in your life. Grace abounding. How would you like your life to be defined and marked by grace abounding in you? The result being massive, thunderous impact. Your influence, the influence you would have for God in this world, could be huge. That is a worthy prayer for Pentecost Sunday. That God's Holy Spirit powerfully might come upon us. I'm kind of praying right now with eyes wide open, okay? You can pray with me in this. That God's Holy Spirit would powerfully come upon us, fill us, be intensified in our lives. The result being this abounding grace, our knowledge of God, in this personal relationship with him, would just expand. We would begin to really understand the heart of God, and his love would be so intensified in us. And not just love, the fruit of the Spirit, his joy, his peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, now abounding, flooding into our hearts, and then spilling out from the excess, out of our hearts, and all of a sudden spilling into the lives of all those around us, so that our influence just keeps increasing and spreading. And the impact of that would be revival. Not just personal revival, but revival as we start then sharing of that grace and of God's goodness and the good news of Christ. That is the Pentecostal prayer, and that is my prayer for us all this morning. And all I would say, all that is required of all of us, is we just open our hearts to God and surrender ourselves to him and just say, yes, Lord, amen. Let it be. Let it be. Amen.